was that, you know, they've got little T and the big T, the little traumas, big traumas. But if you think about someone's baseline, right? I could have a very easygoing life and you could have a very hard life. Something that is affecting you in a traumatic way is going to really affect me. Like if it feels like trauma to you, it's going to really affect me in a big way. If it feels like big to me, it may feel like nothing to you because of the way you're perceiving it, because of your past experiences, the emotional connections that you have to things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another reason why they say, okay, someone else has had it worse than me, or it's just the guilt, or it's the feeling of I could have done something different, or I made X, Y, Z decision. And so it makes you feel like you're just like kind of punishing yourself for it instead of recognizing that this was traumatic and yeah. It's validating it.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
Ta-da, we are live.
Ooh. Yay.
So, Natalie, I'm so excited to chat with you today and learn more about what you do and how hypnosis can help from a sexual standpoint. So I would love to just start and let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you for having me. First of all, I am a sexual wellness hypnotherapist and I have my master's in psychology. I am certified in NLP and Reiki practitioner. I work very intuitively. So every single person that I work with gets a different kind of treatment plan. I customize them, whether it's sexual dysfunction or inner child. I do a lot of inner child healings. Yeah, they're really amazing. And typically anything that I do, if I'm working with trauma or sexuality in general, we do an inner child healing because there's a lot of stuff back there.
There's so much inner child work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
On your healing journeys. So first of all, we are live in Miami.
Yes.
She and I are recording. Yes. While I'm on my little traveling stunt. And so, yeah, I'm excited to meet up as Instagram friends in real life. But what is hypnotherapy?
Hypnotherapy is basically you're accessing the subconscious mind. So if you can imagine that 90 to 95% of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis is coming from your subconscious mind, your conscious mind is 5 to 10%. So what we do is what I like, the easy way to say it is we're going in there and we're pulling the weeds and we're planting new seeds. So we're getting rid of old beliefs, old messaging, old thought processes, and the emotions that come along with it, especially when they're negative. And we're replacing seeds based on what you're looking to achieve. And then we water them. New behavior, new habits, new beliefs.
I have always wanted to do an erotic hypnosis. Like it's on my list of courses to teach and something I want to do within my society, my She Society. But how did you learn about using this in this way? Or how did you decide to use it from like a more sexual wellness standpoint?
So when I moved down to Miami, I was actually working with Pure Romance. So it was like toys and lubricants and everything. And I just felt like I wanted to do something more. So I went back to school, got my master's in psychology. They put me on the wrong track. So I could not get licensed. They said, you either have to redo your master's. That's the only option for me to get licensed. And so I said, what if I get my doctorate? Nope, have to get licensed at the master's level. So I was not going to do that. Yes. Very frustrating, but you know, it was sexuality. So they didn't know where to put me. They just put me on a general track, sent me on my way, and I couldn't get licensed. So I went to get my PhD in clinical sexology. And then through there, they had a hypnosis track and I took it. And then I never ended up finishing my PhD because I loved it so much. And it was so powerful that since I didn't have that like licensed therapist title, that I felt like, okay, then I need my PhD.
How do you use it in the work that you do? What types of things do you help men, women overcome?
So one of my, I would say my biggest requests is lack of desire. And so a lot of it comes from shame. It comes from guilt. It comes from the belief that, especially as moms, we're not supposed to feel sexy anymore. We're not supposed to have that going on. Maybe they've been with their partner for 10, 15 years. That's boring. They're not asking for what they want, or they've been saying they want something or liked something for the last 10 years and they really don't. So that's typically my main request, but I also do get a lot of pain, erectile dysfunction, vaginismus, things like that too.
So I'm curious with that, like, how do you use hypnosis to help with medical conditions?
So my favorite client, we worked, she was doing talk therapy for years for this, but didn't know where it was coming from. She had no idea. She had vaginismus, working with a pelvic floor physical therapist, which I love to collaborate with because it takes both pieces, but she wasn't really sure what was going on. And so we used it in, since she didn't know, we kind of just had to attack it from a bunch of different angles. So first we released some negative emotions, and then we kind of treated it as if something happened trauma-wise. And the only reason I did that is because she was having dreams of that happening. So whether it happened in reality or in a dream, her brain was imagining that it was real. She was protecting herself. And once we did that, within three sessions, it was gone.
Wow. Well, and I think the part that we don't talk about is that so many of our sexual conditions, medical mm-hmm. conditions, have a psychological component to yeah. it. You know, erectile dysfunction, yes, you know, high blood pressure can contribute to that, diabetes, mm-hmm. nerve dysfunction, things like that. Yes. But also pressure.
Yeah.
And so I think that it is interesting to use that psychological approach in addition to maybe using medical management or other things, but mm-hmm. we have to incorporate that when we are treating different conditions.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's perceived too. It's from childhood. So between the ages of 0 and 8 is when you kind of create this motherboard in your mind. So everything that's happening on a day-to-day basis, you're pulling from that motherboard. And so we just need to change the answers. And so for someone who the answer is pain or shame or fear or guilt, we want to change that to pleasure, to comfort, to calmness, to feeling empowered. And once you do that, it's a game changer. Everything changes. Your body reacts in a different way. The brain's sending the message that this is okay. And pleasure, I think, first and foremost, is something that just needs to be normalized within their brain, the thoughts.
100%. I think that pleasure, I love to talk about pleasure and having a pleasure-filled life. But I also think that, and I've talked about this 100 times on the podcast, that pleasure is so much more than just in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word in itself, I ask them, I say, does the word pleasure make you feel uncomfortable? Yes. The answer is always yes. And that could be pleasure by, we're in Miami, you look outside, there's pleasure everywhere. We've got beautiful palm trees, we've got the sun, blue skies.
Beautiful
people everywhere. And so there's pleasure in all of that. But that makes people uncomfortable. And so if you feel uncomfortable exploring pleasure in your everyday life, sexual pleasure is going to be very uncomfortable.
Mm. I also would add to that that if you experience sexual pleasure, mm-hmm. you're probably able to have and explore pleasure more easily in other areas
yes.
too.
Yes.
What do you do for pleasure?
For regular pleasure? Pleasure we're talking about here. So I'm very mindful. Everything I do every day is mindful. I wake up, I ask myself, what will bring me joy today? And then I do it. Doesn't matter what it is. So typically it might be go outside. Like this morning I worked out. I got my blood flowing. I sat outside in the sun for 15 minutes. I'm, you know, lucky to be here in Florida where we do get a lot of sun. So that was my pleasure today. And then coming down here to be with you is, for me, it's pleasure. It's exciting. And on a day-to-day basis, I have my wellness center. So I get to explore my acupuncture and massage and vaginal steaming and all of the things. So I will say that I'm very blessed and lucky to access it every single day.
Do you do only in person or do you do online too?
Virtual also. And I did that even before the pandemic. I had a tiny little office and I just wanted to be able to see more people. And I like Romania, I've seen clients in Romania and the UK. And it's so funny. And especially over there, I had a girl come. She said, you told me we can do virtual. So she logs in, she's in the bath, just taking a bath. And I'm like, well, that's a first, but it's just culturally, like I'm at home, I'm doing my thing, but I don't mind because
that would be something I would do.
Yeah. I'm like, just yes, be you, come as you are, feel safe. I mean, I obviously meant she felt safe with me and that's how this works the best.
Absolutely. How do you cultivate that safety with your clients?
I want to say that just my presence alone cultivates it. Because I am a very just soft person in general, but it's just the rapport. It's getting to know them. It's not diving straight into the questions that are uncomfortable. I ask questions about maybe family or dogs or what they like to do on a day-to-day basis. It typically lessens that just uncomfortability about talking about sex, because the people that are coming to me, they're not used to talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not like you and I, we can sit here and talk about it all day. 100%. It's not like that.
One thing I'm curious about, you know, when you think of hypnosis, you think of going to Vegas show where they hypnotize you and then you are quacking like a duck across the stage.
Yeah.
Is that the type of work that you do?
No. So there's stage hypnosis and it's not what we do. And that's the perceived idea of what I'm going to do. So people are nervous. They're scared. Or they've seen the movie The Get Out. And so if you haven't seen it, it has made people very scared of hypnosis because they like use a cup and they're doing these things, but it's kind of like how they do it on stage. But if you've ever noticed on stage, they do send people down back to the audience. It's because they know that they're not suggestible enough to be up on the stage and they're going to ruin the presentation because I can't make you do anything you don't want to do. And so that's the biggest thing, is people don't feel safe with hypnosis because they think that I'm in control and I'm not. You're in control. I'm just the guide. Stage hypnosis typically is like a tap on the head or a pull of the arm, but I do, it's called progressive relaxation induction. So it's just my voice. Mm-hmm. Just talk very soft and quiet and guide you into relaxation.
Do your clients fall asleep on you?
Yes, sometimes. But also sometimes they're so deep, they go into such a deep like relaxation. There's some snoring sometimes that happen. I try not to bring them that deep though. But if they're tired, you can't help it.
It's funny, the few times that I have done hypnosis, I usually end up falling asleep, like always. Like that deep, it's really easy for me to fall asleep and I sleep like a baby. So that deep relaxation knocks me out.
Also means that you are already doing the things, right? Because someone, even if they're a great sleeper, if they come in and they're not comfortable and they're not used to relaxing, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. I have people that they close their eyes and then 2 seconds later, we haven't even gotten into it and they're opening. Are we done? Are we there? Because it feels so uncomfortable to close their eyes, to be still, to relax. And then they're also obviously scared of what might, you know, happen when they're there, especially the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you are doing hypnosis, this sounds like a weird question, but like, can you change lives in one session?
Mm-hmm. So let's say for fear, for example, like I have some people come for like a fear of lizards, especially here in Florida. They're everywhere. I'm sure you've seen them.
Yes. I have.
Seen like this might be one climbing up the wall. So here you can't have a fear of lizards. You're not going to be able to sleep in your own home. And that absolutely gone in a second. And it's really just because there's an emotional connection to something, or maybe there was an experience where someone yelled and screamed and just that alone scared them and created that idea that lizards are scary and gross. And once you take away that emotional connection, it's gone.
So I feel like hypnosis is not utilized a lot in the sexual wellness space.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that there's kind of a shift in it being utilized more, or would you say that it's still kind of in the early stages of being used in this way?
It's hard for me to say, only because since I'm in this space, I meet with a lot of hypnotherapists and somatic practitioners and people that are utilizing hypnotherapy. For someone just coming in trying to find it, no, they're not going to find it. I only know because I'm connected to people that are doing it or someone else is doing it. But if you're just Googling, it's not something that's going to pop up as something that's going to be your first go-to. It's not on the list.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel the same way about the work that I do. Like, I would have never known there were people that do the same thing until I got on Instagram, and like 3 years later, now I'm like, oh, wow, it's everywhere. If you know how to look for it.
Yeah. But you have to know that it even exists to look for it. I don't think anybody would say, oh, let me try hypnosis for sex. They're thinking to stop smoking, fear of flying, things like that, which I can do. The smoking cessation is the only one that I don't do. But those fears is, if you think about it, typically when it's related to sex, there's a fear somewhere.
Yeah.
Fear of something. And so that's why it's so powerful, is it just gets rid of that fear, just like it would a fear of lizards.
I love it. I want to come do a hypnosis with you.
Yes.
Come on. I don't know what my problem is, but I definitely want to just do it.
It's in like, you know, the lady that I mentioned as far as the vaginismus, we didn't know what the problem was. You don't even have to know. It's, what do I want to do? Do I want to connect to my higher self? Do I want to feel more empowered? Do I want to make more money? Because money mindset is a thing that I do. I do.
And
like,
that is built in our sexuality as well.
Oh yeah. All of it. Weight loss. I did, when I first started, I did do smoking cessation. And there was a lady that could not put down her last cigarette. She went from 2 packs a day to 1 cigarette, and she just could not put it down. And then we found out that there was a sexuality component that was the reason that she was not letting go of her last cigarette. And
that's wild.
And yeah. And so it came back, but she wasn't comfortable enough to tell me about it until we had gone through like 6 sessions, which is long for, not long, but longer for hypnosis and smoking cessation. But it's ingrained in so many things, embedded in so many ideas and experiences that we have.
Yeah. What do you wish people knew about hypnosis?
Oh, I think that it's safe. I think because most people feel like I am in control of them. There's actually even a lot of religions that feel like it's brainwashing or witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And so they're not allowed to do it. I had somebody actually contact me. They wanted to do it, but just religiously, they said, you know, I just can't do it. It's not witchcraft. It's not voodoo. It's not, like I said, I don't have control of you. Your brain is working in your best interest. Your subconscious mind wants to please you. I'm talking about pleasure. That's what your subconscious mind wants to do, wants to please you. And so I'm giving it suggestions, but you can also reject them. So if you don't believe what I'm saying, your brain will say, nope, I don't believe you.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal.
You had said that low desire or desire issues are kind of one of the main things that people come to you for. Mm-hmm. What would you say are like the top 5 things that people come to you for hypnosis?
So I would say sexual dysfunction, and then weight loss is a big one. Inner child healing. Sexual trauma, typically, if it is, you know, something that they, you know, a lot of people feel like this wasn't big enough to cause trauma. And so that one, that's also really big. And I put that in air quotes because, you know, it's all big enough. If it is affecting you, it's enough to come in and work through it. If it's something that kind of like comes up in your dreams, or if it's something that you're walking down the street and it just, you can imagine like a filing cabinet, and that the files that are not filed, they're just like sitting there, just scattered around. Those are the thoughts that are happening and popping up in your brain all the time because they need filed somewhere. And then confidence, really. And then new moms, birth trauma. I do birth trauma, fertility.
Ooh, that's really good to know, because I do work actually in fertility as my primary job. But, and also connecting you with some ladies in like the doula world and birthing world, because there is so much there that is not being treated for women. Every other country does pelvic floor physical therapy for new moms, except the US. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we could totally go on a rant about that. But I wanted to go back to what you said about how trauma is not being big enough. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting how so many of us don't feel like our experiences were maybe, I wasn't maybe held at gunpoint, or I maybe wasn't this, and therefore that experience wasn't as bad as it could have been, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting how we reframe those things in our mind, even though that they're all still traumatic experiences.
Yeah. Well, it's that, you know, they've got little T and the big T, the little traumas, big traumas. But if you think about someone's baseline, right? I could have a very easygoing life, and you could have a very hard life, something that is affecting you in a traumatic way is going to really affect me. Like if it feels like trauma to you, it's going to really affect me in a big way. If it feels like big to me, may feel like nothing to you because of the way you're perceiving it, because of your past experiences, the emotional connections that you have to things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another reason why they say, okay, someone else has had it worse than me, or it's just the guilt, or it's the feeling of I could have done something different, or I made X, Y, Z decision. And so it makes you feel like you're just like kind of punishing yourself for it instead of recognizing that this was traumatic. Yeah. It's validating it.
I remember my mentor one time we were talking and she was like, did you ever think of PA school as being a traumatic experience? And I hadn't until that point, but that's absolutely what it was. Like PA school is extremely traumatic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there we go. That's what we can work through.
Yeah, there you go. There's so, exactly. I mean, financial PTSD is, you know, something that I never even recognized until I started working with hypnosis and my own financial PTSD from just growing up and college years and all that. Didn't realize how traumatic it was and how the subconscious mind just continues to keep you in that loop. And that's why I started doing the money mindset classes. And then I do also a group Awaken Your Libido for that. And it's super cool. Yeah. Just like a step into releasing shame, guilt, fear, and then doing the sexual empowerment. So it's a two-step thing.
Do you create hypnoses for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Or you like record them and then you listen to them?
Yeah. But so the beauty is every time I work with a client, I'm pretty much going into a hypnotic trance.
Mm.
So I can be very alert and still. So I always know because I'm doing this on my leg. It's like self-soothing, I guess. I'll just tell you a funny story. So I used to do a Starbucks cake pop every day. Just got into the habit. And then of course it got expensive because then I'm also getting a coffee. I'm not just getting a Starbucks cake pop.
Absolutely. You got to get it all.
Got to get it all. And then I worked with a client who was getting rid of sugars and candies and stuff from their diet. And that day I went to go visit a friend at a diner. Normally at a diner, I'm going to get like fried mac and cheese or something. And I got a salad and I was like, that's weird. The next day, I didn't go to Starbucks. This was 2017. I have not had a cake pop since.
That's wild.
I didn't even do it on myself. I was doing it for someone else. The idea had planted. In the morning, I said, oh my gosh, I need to stop doing this. I need to stop spending so much money and this isn't healthy because I'm a very healthy eater otherwise. And I just stopped. 2017. It was that fast. Just gone.
That's so interesting. And I feel like so many people don't realize the potential utilization of this tool.
Mm-hmm. The power of your brain. Your brain is so powerful.
So powerful. I mean, when you start looking at like NLP and all these mm-hmm. other things with our brain, there are a lot of things that you can do with it.
Yeah.
But you obviously have to go see somebody who knows what they're doing or...
Yeah, learn. Because you're the captain of your ship. And so you can use your brain in a negative way. Which is typically how we're using it because it's the easier way. And normally it's how, you know, what you're seeing, if you're watching the news every day or just how much negativity you're allowing into your world. But you can also use it for positive. Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to sleep to reality TV. That's what your brain's listening to and processing while you're sleeping. And so your subconscious doesn't sleep. And so it's processing the yelling, the fighting, the arguing, the name calling. And your body is perceiving it as real because it also doesn't know the difference between imaginary and real.
So are you team TV in the bedroom or no TV in the bedroom?
So I have one in the bedroom, but I turn it off and I don't watch it for at least 30 minutes before I go to sleep. And it's always something like mindless. I don't watch anything that, and if it was affecting me, I would know immediately that, oh, you know, I've been watching this. My daughter does not have one. So I'm team no TV for the kids.
I never had a TV in my bedroom.
I didn't either.
And I mean, I could live without a TV. I literally watch nothing.
Yeah, I've got Netflix and I typically am watching like something silly. But and one of the only reasons that I do watch it in there is because my daughter would hear it otherwise if I was out in the living room and she's a light sleeper. So I've got to, you know, do what I can for my privacy.
I love it. So I'm trying to think, what else would you like to share about hypnosis or about like the work that you do?
So I will say that the reason that I got into that, I even did my sexuality focus when I did my master's is because I was working with oncology and the new normal. And so I just wanted to mention that because it's a piece that I'm passionate about that I think also is something that people don't talk about. Another thing where you feel like I've survived, why am I even thinking about sex? You know, a lot of people have said, I feel bad to even put it at the top of my priority list. When I was trying to write blogs, they didn't want to talk about it. The blogs were like, no, we don't, you know, we don't cover that. But it's a big part of quality of life. And so I just wanted to make mention of it and how important it is that it is something that hypnosis can help with, especially the new normal, body confidence, body image, things like that.
And for oncology patients, especially ones who have gynecological oncology, there are a lot of changes that happen.
Yeah.
You know, vaginal dryness, vaginal atrophy, physical changes, especially if you had like radiation treatment, things like that. So there is a medical component, but then also kind of addressing what the new norm, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And utilizing the brain in a positive way to start sending the messages. Because the treatment alone, just having that negative, you know, touch can really somatically make a big difference when you start bringing in the positive. Even just looking at yourself, saying nice things, kind things, positive things.
Yes. So this episode is dropping after my next She Society call, but that's exactly one of the things that we're doing on the call is, you know, building confidence and building your sexual confidence starts by saying nice things to yourself and looking in the mirror and not judging every single thing that you see. And maybe start by identifying something that you love about yourself.
Yeah,
every single fucking day.
On my old website, it said on the very front page, it said self-love is the first step to sexual confidence.
Let's talk about this.
Yes.
What does self-love mean to you?
So for me, it's not just about like doing things like I'll go get my nails done and I'll, you know, go get a facial massage. I do acupuncture. I do all the things. But for me, it's being kind to myself. It's recognizing that I'm worthy of good things and I'm worthy of being loved. And that wasn't always the case. It took a very long time, almost 10 years for me to heal. Had I had a hypnosis, it would have been much quicker, but I did it on my own. But what I'll tell you is the thing that turns it around for me was I was looking in the mirror every day and telling myself, you are beautiful and you are worth it. And it didn't stick at first. I didn't really believe it, but one day it just clicked. And so ever since then, I realized the power of affirmations. I created a deck of sexuality affirmation cards because of it.
I didn't know this.
It's called Reconnect, Restore, Reclaim. And it was the first one on the market. I think that was 2017 also. And it's just about mind, body, and soul reconnecting with your body, just restoring the feminine part of you and reclaiming your sexuality.
Yes. I love affirmations. In the journal that I have on Amazon, that's one of the things that we have the women in particular reflect on is an affirmation.
Yeah.
A daily affirmation because it changing your mindset is an active process.
Yeah.
And it's a daily thing that you have to do. And not every day is going to be a good day, right? Mm-hmm. But you do actively have to make a conscious effort.
Yeah. Well, that's why when I say you're the captain of your ship, I tell myself that every day. How you get to control your day. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that kind of fly in the way, but you've got to regain the control and say, that's not the direction that I'm going because I can go that way. You know, if somebody tries to run you off the road and then your whole day is ruined, you get to regroup and okay, where am I going from here? And finding that, but it does take like habit, creating that habit.
I've talked about self-love on some of my membership calls and a lot of women identify self-love as spending money on themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I'm not going to say that that's such a narrow mindset, but there is so many more ways to care for yourself outside of just spending money on yourself.
Yeah.
And it's the way that you talk to yourself. It's giving yourself grace. It's doing things that are fucking pleasurable every single day that bring pleasure to your life, which is different for each of us.
Yeah.
For me, it's the beach. That's why right now I'm staying 1 minute from the beach because that is an essential thing for me.
Yeah.
That's why every vacation that I have is on the beach as well.
I moved here for that reason. My new one is now, I just turned 40 in December And so that comes with a lot of, not for me, but just growing up, I don't know if you remember all the cards that are like, oh, you're over the hill now. Mm-hmm. So I've heard all of that. I don't feel it though. I am healthy. I work out every day. I eat healthy. I practice self-love. I do the massage, the acupuncture, all the things. I feel great. I feel like I'm 25. But one of the things that I noticed that I've been doing lately is when I'm putting lotion on my body, especially on my stomach, I'm like, I love you. Thank you so much. Because there's just so much happening in this area, menstrual cycle, all the things, the hormones and all of it. And I just want my body to know that I'm grateful for its functioning as it is right now, because I'm so grateful that I feel good.
It's so funny that you say that, because I went to Fiji with my mom and I happened to be in the mirror doing that. And she was like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, hey, you gotta talk nice. You gotta talk nice to yourself. So
otherwise, you know, people are either ignoring themselves in the mirror or saying something that isn't nice.
And that doesn't serve you.
No,
it doesn't help you.
Your body's listening mm-hmm. and it's responding. Because just like I said, your subconscious wants to please you. If you're telling yourself that I don't like you, your body's responding that way.
Yeah. Mm, so good. If the listeners take one thing away from today's episode, what would you want it to be?
Invest in yourself. And whether it's, I mean, there's so many free resources, but if you need someone to hold your hand and guide you, like I said, I spent 10 years healing on my own when it could have been minimized had I, one, admitted that I needed that help, and then to invest it into someone helping me. I think that, you know, I wasted probably 8 years of my life not mentally healthy because I was maybe stubborn. I didn't want to admit that something was wrong. So invest in yourself and love yourself enough to heal all the things.
I love that. And I think that that's such a good point for myself. I did the same thing. Like I tried to do my own shit for a while. And then I was like, okay, I've got all the resources, but I don't know how to implement anything. And the mm-hmm. only way for me to implement it is to hire somebody to help guide me on the implementation side. And it was an amazing investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I'm at a much different place. I'm very calm. Like before, I was angry. I was mad. I had digestive issues, all because my stomach hurt, because I was sending all the messages, all the mean messages. I was mad. I was angry. I was holding a lot of emotions. And so now I just feel like a completely different person. I feel healthier at 40 than I actually did at 25.
Yes. So where can the listeners find you at, Natalie?
I'm Love Chat with Nat on Instagram, also Facebook. I'm on Instagram mostly, but my website too is lovechatwithnat.com or nataliehatches.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me and coming out here to record and meet in person.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode, and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.